Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
FM. It's the 8th of August, 2024. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hey, everybody.
And this is an incredibly busy week. The show is going to go a whole bunch of different directions today. We're going to be talking about the Googleopoly. Google has been declared a monopoly. We're going to be talking a lot about AI and some pretty interesting developments in AI. We're going to be talking a lot about Google. It's been a pretty crazy. Usually summer is dead, so nothing happens in summer. You can bet that the few weeks before the middle of August is supposed to be dead time. The kid, people are getting ready for kids going back to school, and Labor Day is just around the distant corner. But this is supposed to be like the dog's day of summers, and this is one of the busiest weeks we've had for news. Eh?
Yeah, it is. And the next week, I'll give you my findings from B-Sides, Black Hat, and DEF CON.
Well, that's right, because this is the beginning of the conference season. You're at DEF CON all next week.
Yeah, this week, and Black Hat right now, DEF CON at the end of the week.
Excellent. So we're going to have a lot more to talk about AI coming up.
Yes, we will definitely.
So the week opened Monday the 5th. We woke up to the news that Google was declared a monopoly. Judge Amit Mehta, a U.S. federal judge, ruled that Google is, in fact, a monopolist. It has acted to maintain its monopoly in a 286-page filing. Judge Mehta wrote, Google has violated Section 2 of the Sherman Act. Specifically, the court holds that there are relevant product markets for general search services and general search text ads. Google has monopoly power in those markets. Google's distribution agreements are exclusive and have anti-competitive effects. And Google has not offered valid pro-competitive justifications for those agreements. Importantly, the court also finds that Google has exercised its monopoly power by charging supra-competitive prices for general search text ads. That conduct has allowed Google to earn monopoly profits. Okay, I just said a whole bunch of stuff in legalese, and I think I mostly understand it myself, but that's only because I've read over it and over it again. So we went and consulted with an expert. In the waiting room, in the house, we have Bennett Kelly, the founder of the Internet Law Center and former host of the Cyber Law and Business Report. I'm here on Webmaster Radio or WMR.FM. Bennett Kelly has been named among America's top internet lawyers. He was co-chair of the California Bar Cyberspace Committee, is a frequent contributor to the Journal of Internet Law and E-Commerce and Law Policy. Bennett's here to explain the situation Google finds itself in, what that might mean to the company, and what it might mean to the internet moving forward. Bennett, welcome back to Webcology.
Thank you, Jim. It's always great to be on with such a legend. And so I think you summarized it well. So I think I'll go now. No.
Okay. What happened? Like, that's interesting. Okay. First of all, Google's a monopoly.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So, just by way of background, early in my career, I actually did antitrust law. And I once filed a monopoly lawsuit against Ticketmaster. But, monopolies happen, and they're not bad necessarily. The opinion goes on to talk about the growth of Google and how, for example, 10 years ago, it had an 80% share, and now it has a 90% share. But some of it is conceitedly just because Google is a search is a good product. And it is probably one of the best search engines. And the closest competitor, I think, is Yahoo, which has like 3% of the market. So having monopoly or monopoly power, which is the more important aspect, is not inherently bad. It's when you abuse that market position for anti-competitive purposes. And here the court is focusing on two things. One, Google used the courts in antitrust law don't like you using your monopoly power in one area to gain market power in another. And so as we have the mobile platforms emerging, Google entered into exclusive contracts with Apple and Samsung, paying them, obviously the exact number, but
absurd amounts of money, like billions.
It's billions. It was something like, and actually, you know, one of the, part of the analysis is that, let's see, they paid $8 billion to Samsung, and the Price is Right for Apple is around $20 billion. So they paid that to get the exclusive position on the phones as the search engine of choice. And that by exercising its market power to do so and create another monopoly in this new market, that violates the antitrust laws. In addition, the court found that they were paying super competitive prices in the market for text ads in search. And that's probably what was paying for the $20 million, in part. And so,
By that you mean they were giving a much larger split of rev share to Apple or to Samsung?
Well, one, they were paying. They actually flat out paid $20 billion annually, secondly, that they're saying is they charge higher on their, you know, their regular internet search platform at a higher, you know, super competitive rate, that was partly what enabled them, I think, to pay Apple and Samsung those, you know, exorbitant amounts. And so that's in a nutshell what they did. And there's a couple of things that are important about this. One is courts have been reluctant to jump in on, we did have Microsoft, 20 years ago. And courts have some reluctance to jump in here because, especially in the internet, who remembers the technology they were using 5 years ago? I mean, we're on Zoom now. We were doing Skype last time we talked. So technology is evolving. And there's a belief that because of the evolving technology and, you know, Christine's going to talk about AI. I mean, AI, creates the ability for the competitive situation to change, for new entrants to come in and create a competitive environment. But with Google, that hasn't happened. It's maintained its market dominance throughout. And so that's kind of allowed courts to get over that initial hesitation because of just the belief that, you know, this is a volatile market, even if they're ahead now. I mean, Yahoo once had a huge share, and look at them now. But Google has maintained its dominance, you know, in many respects by being a better product, but the court found in some respects through anti-competitive behavior.
Well, this is where we're at. Google's been declared a monopoly. What happens next is some of the first reactions from the search community was, Yahoo, now we're going to see instant competition in the market. Is that like for real? Is there going to be change? Are we going to notice there's a change? Is the appeal going to happen quickly or take forever? Like, what happens next?
So now we go to the next phase in terms of what should be the remedy. What should they do? Obviously, the elimination of these exclusive contracts is going to be one element. Whether they need to do something in search to make it more competitive, or whether they need to separate. Sometimes companies are required to separate products from you know from their company and spin something off so that there is something. So you're going to see a couple of things. One, I expect Apple and Samsung take a hit because they're not going to get those payments. Expect more competition in the mobile search. Also expect possibility lower rates and advertising if this happens for search because they're finding that Google was charging excessive rates. And so all of that is some of the things that could happen. One thing to keep in mind, the election result could also affect how this proceeds. Microsoft had they had a judgment against them, and there were all these remedies that they were supposed to implement. And when Bush won in 2000, they more or less shut down the antitrust case against Microsoft. And so, a powerful company with a political ally can sometimes escape this. And it's gone. There's also a currently a another antitrust case over Google's search practices. Amazon has an antitrust case. Meta has an antitrust case. So this has given new life to the whole concept that the tech conglomerates are really maybe not acting in a competitive way, and the market needs to be restructured to be more competitive.
Well, I was going to note that Google's not the only company out there paying another company to be the exclusive provider of XYZ or some sort of service. What does this ruling say to those kind of agreements?
So I could pay you what's a fair price, Jim? A billion
Yeah, sure, why not?
to
Who's a
be
billion with three friends,
the
right?
exclusive to be the exclusive advertiser on your show. I don't have market power. It's not going to, the key is, do you have market power? Can you control the market? Can you raise prices without really having new entrants come in to compete with you and make that price increase not feasible? And are you constrained by competition? I'm very much, I don't have that power. But if someone like Google did that and did that in a way so that prevented other people from getting involved, then that's the key, is when you have power in one market and you use it in a way to prevent competition.
So, what happens for users of Apple devices? They sometime in the future they're going to be offered a chance to have Bing, DuckDuckGo,
Yeah.
or another search engine as their default.
Yes. I think that's where we're going.
Okay.
This is good news for DuckDuckGo. They've been advertising heavily, and this could be their way forward. But yeah.
Is this You mentioned that Google had used its basically its absolute dominance in the market
Market power, yeah, that's
to
the
raise prices on the for the consumer, for advertisers.
yeah.
So is there, I mean, you also noted that they might see lower prices. Does that actually, I mean, is there a way that the courts can enforce that? Can make that happen?
Well, I think what the theory is that they're going to do something to create more competition in search, and I don't know what remedies they're going to implement. But there is a belief that Google, having been cited for having excessive pricing in search, may try to remedy that and bring its prices down in light of the decision. But one thing is certain, this is going to be appealed. And so we could be having the same discussion a year from now, based on what the DC Circuit decided. And then, the Supreme Court, another year later. So this isn't over. This is the beginning of a big debate. But and who knows? Congress may also choose to step in. But there's a lot of con this was brought by the Justice Department, and which is under the Biden administration, has been aggressive on tech. But you also have the FCC chairwoman Khan, who was very young, but when she was in Yale Law School, wrote a landmark essay about anti-competitive practices in tech, particularly with citing Amazon. So there's a new kind of robust antitrust enforcement in tech. And just a strange anecdote. I started my career at a firm, Howery and Simon, and Howery was one of the former FTC chairmen. And they, at one point up until the early 80s, a large part of their practice was antitrust. And then Reagan came into office and basically shut down antitrust enforcement. And the firm, at one point, feared that they may just go under because that was such their bread and butter. And they just retooled and said, no, we handle complex problems. And we're just going to do this in a different way. We'll still have a lot of antitrust stuff. And they moved on. But there are trends in antitrust, is that the point of bringing that up. And now we're in a trend where antitrust enforcement and tech is considered important to protect consumers.
This isn't a case of breaking up a brick and mortar and wire company like
No.
Bell, which was incredibly complex and had
Yes.
like revolutionary effects on the telecommunications market. This is infinitely bigger and more interwoven into, well, our lives, our shopping, our information experiences. Is it possible Google could be broken up? I mean, is that actually on the table, or is
I
that
mean,
sort of
there are
fantasy?
some suggestions that it's some of its functions be separated. And then one thing I haven't addressed, and I can't really speak to in detail, but all at the same time, all this is going on here in the United States, Europe is taking action. And so, who knows what they may do as well. But they've actually, because of our inaction over the last 10 years, they've been very active in terms of regulating the internet. They've been the lead regulators in the internet for the last 10 years, I think. But what you could see is changes. You know who you might see? There's a big push in the Meta case to break up Facebook, Instagram, and that's one example of the merger shouldn't have been allowed to go forward. With Amazon. Amazon has some very interesting and arguably predatory behaviors, where they bring on companies and they monitor them. And then, if a company has a product that's doing well, they offer a white label that undercuts that company. And so there's a belief that that's kind of predatory practice. And so there could be changes to how the Amazon platform operates. And so, and Apple, they have their own complaint based on what's going on in the iPhone market. And this is going to be a raging debate in the tech field for the next 5 or 10 years.
I imagine it's going to, we're at a time of such rapid change in search and tech, in how people relate to technology. It's quite possible that by the time this gets settled, search will be a radically and completely different thing. There's another case that's coming up. It's being heard in September that is also going to involving Google and the online ad ecosystem. I think this one is going to involve display advertising
Yes.
and Google's incredible heft in, well,
Yes.
with DoubleClick and the display market. How to say this? Was this set up to be a 1-2 punch sort of thing, or was it they just needed to get the search case settled before moving to the
They're
direct
two separate
advertising?
cases, yes. So the antitrust, and having worked at a firm, we actually had lawyers and economists. We had a team of economists, because a key element in antitrust cases is defining the market. And if you define it the right way, you can get a merger approved or you can win a case. And so a case is brought with respect to actions in a particular market, not to the company's actions overall. So I'm sure there was a team in Google that was focusing on this particular market, and now there's a separate team focusing on the display market. So it's just each one has its own kind of quarterback and has its own marches to its own schedule.
Okay, and that's a different case altogether. Has
exactly.
No bearing on another case. Has bearing on the other.
Right. I mean, obviously, some of the rulings, what is said here, will definitely come out. You know, that there was any competitive practices. You know, maybe intent. It's in fact, if you read the ruling, there's a lot of citation to the Microsoft case. So in Microsoft's landmark case, this is considered a landmark case. So what is said in that, you know, a 235-page opinion which I'll be miming somewhere, is going to be cited throughout all these other cases. So you know, this is laying the groundwork for further antitrust enforcement in each of those elements we've talked about.
I guess we should be letting you go soon. We have a whole bunch of other news we have to cover. You have a bunch of things you need to do, but I have one last question. Google's going to appeal. The appeal is going to take however long it's going to take, but do they actually really have a grounds for appeal? Has the DOJ not proven its case? Was there a mistake made in this trial? Is there a good reason for the appeal?
Jim, have you ever hired a lawyer?
Yeah.
What's the one answer you always get? It depends. But no, I mean, kidding aside, these are complex matters. And how the Court of Appeal may look at the market definition and may not agree with it. It may believe that it didn't apply the market definition right. You know, the court may look at some of the evidence that was allowed and said that should have been excluded. I mean, we're talking about, a months-long trial. And there are a lot of issues that can come up, not just as to the overall liability, but for what evidence was let in, is certain testimony reliable? So anything, there's grounds for appeal. Do I think Google would win? I don't know. I honestly don't. A conservative court may want to allow this to proceed and, it may want to have a hands-off antitrust attitude and might shut this down. It's hard to predict.
At the same time, Donald Trump might win the election and decide it's time to thump Google and this is a good crudgel.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, if I'm CEO of Google, I'm calling Trump. And obviously a well-placed contribution, something that gets him over the finish line.
What a world.
Allows you to pick who's going to be, attorney general and the head of the FTC.
Okay. I was going to ask if you had a prediction, but I think that's a pretty good one. Do you have a prediction? How do you really think this is going to go? I guess this is the very last question.
I think you're going to see changes in the marketplace. For at least, I'm not going to say it's definitely Google, but of the companies we discussed, some of them are going to be subject to substantial changes through these court decisions. And possibly, but Congress is so reticent and slow when it comes to tech, and possibly Congress may step up. But yes, I think there will be changes. Some of this anti-competitive behavior will be addressed by one of these court cases. I'm not going to say for sure it's Google, but right now it's looking that way.
Ben, it's always fun having you on the show. Always a
great
delight
pleasure.
To talk to you. Thank
Be
you
well,
for joining
my
us.
And nice talking to you, Christine. And
you
yeah,
well
it's nice meeting you. Very interesting to get all that really great information. Thank you.
And one last thing. Don't listen to me because I was an antitrust lawyer and I gave it up right before the biggest boom in antitrust law. So really, I am not a very smart person.
You're way smarter than us on this stuff, though.
All right. Take care, guys.
Stay well, Bennett. Friends, that was Bennett Kelly, founder of the Internet Law Center and, again, former host of the Cyber Law and Business Report right here on WMR.FM. That was great. That was chilling at the end.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Well, if I was aiming, I just called Trump up.
He's right. I mean, the reason that Google and some of these companies have escaped lawsuits like this for so long is one, DOJ wasn't acting on antitrust law. And two, they had lobbyists. Remember, at one point, Google had the highest funded lobbyist group in all of America to prevent these kind of things from happening. So it's definitely interesting. Now, it is funny. Apple has a reaction to all this news, which is Bing can't pay them enough to get rid of Google.
Well, Apple also dropped the hint today that they have billions and billions and billions of documents stored away in their own search vault. They just haven't done anything with them.
True, true, true. But they said that Bing gave them an offer, and they told that I mean Microsoft, and they told Microsoft that there's not enough money in the world for them to ditch Google for Bing. So raise the question: what do you go to if Bing's not there? Google's no longer default, okay. But what engines do people even know about that they would not use Google?
Well, the first question is, is there going to be an amount of money you can offer Apple or offer Samsung or whomever to be the default device controller? Or is that now off the table? When you're talking on such a, I mean, like the entire phone network in the iPhone ecosystem. That's got to be half the world or something.
Yeah, interesting enough, I recently did a report on device usage in search. Mm-hmm. And Apple refers over 50% of Google search. I did not think it'd be that high. Most of it's the phone.
Okay, so that's worth a good $20 billion a year, given that Google
yes.
makes that every few days
yes,
or so
yes.
in tech stats.
Yes. So I guess Google's probably relieved that Apple's not going to get rid of them. But I also don't understand how that definitely works, because Google can't pay to be default anymore. So do they just pay them a fee and then Apple makes them default? So it's the same thing, but legally it's not.
Nah, it's gonna come down to how the fee gets paid to them. So there'll just be a massive increase in rev share on every ad that gets clicked or something to that effect.
Yeah, exactly. There'll be some way they loophole around it for sure.
But you know, while Bennett was speaking, I was thinking if I was in the C-level at Google, I would be pushing ahead with rapid change in how search looks and acts and feels and how information is distributed through search. So there is any remedy that the DOJ imposes would kind of be a moot point. We will see how this works out.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes for sure. It will be interesting. And like you said, this is not the last we're going to hear of it. It's just the beginning, because they were probably already filed. I don't know that they did, but I'm going to guess. The intent to appeal has already been filed. I mean,
yeah, so this guy isn't falling. Google's not going out of business. Bing is not going to make a meteoric rise just because this is happening. Although Bing may make a meteoric rise for strong quality and impressing people. They just have to figure out a way to do the impressing people part.
Yes, although I have to say, I am using Bing a lot more often than I used to. I hear a lot of other people are too.
I am too. I'm enjoying my experience at Bing. It's visually easier to use than Google.
Yes, for about 90%. I don't like the sticky bar on the left in Bing, but other than that, yeah, I totally agree.
Okay. Before I forget, this is really, really important, because it only happens once in anybody's lifetime. And
oh, yes, 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 yes.
Someone near and dear to our hearts, Tom Russling, owner of Audience Key. It's his 50th birthday today.
Happy birthday to you. I actually said him a happy birthday this morning. So.
Okay. Well,
happy birthday, Tom. You are awesome, and we greatly appreciate you.
Yeah, biggest love to you, Tom. Have an amazing birthday today. And again, you only turn 51, so really, really have fun with this one.
And if I know Tommy is, although I think the trek to Mount Everest was probably the 50th birthday present for himself.
Very likely. Very likely that. Okay, so to bring us into the show, I said we were going all over the place, and we're going to go all over the place. Actually, I want to kind of go to Europe. But actually, before we go to Europe,
Europe.
Well, we will go to Europe. We're going to go to Europe in a few minutes. You're not going to like where we're going in Europe.
Oh,
you're not
darn.
Going to like it at all.
Okay.
But sorry.
I know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
Okay, so
OpenAI, Twixter, OpenAI, like.
OpenAI, Twixter, and all this stuff. So I'm not sure where to begin. So
Well, we can
the
start with the quick news on OpenAI.
well,
Three of
let's
their
start with the quick news on Twixter deciding to sue advertisers who ditched it. A few months ago, Elon Musk, in a fit of frat boy rage, basically told advertisers to, well, literally told advertisers to F off, take their money somewhere else, and to bugger off. And so a lot of them did. Like, a lot of them did, especially after seeing their ads or their client ad money, ad copy appear beside racist, misogynist, or, sometimes outright Nazi content. So this week, Elon Musk, well, on behalf of his social media company, known as X or Twixter, and the much, 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 infinitely much smaller social media company Rumble, got together to sue said advertisers that Musk literally told to F off because they went and F offed. So that's that. Also, in a lawsuit that Elon Musk filed on Monday against OpenAI and Sam Altman and Greg Brockman, who we'll get to in a few minutes, this is a new suit suggesting that the Altman and Brockman have abandoned the noble cause of the company's founding agreement by prioritizing profits over public interest. Litigious Elon.
He claims that. By the way, pardon my voice today, everybody. I'm at the B-Sides Black Cat and DEF CON this week, and it's only halfway through, and my voice is almost gone. So I apologize. The suit claims that Altman and other defendants deceived Musk into co-founding OpenAI back in 2015 by promising the company would be a nonprofit with a focus on safety and openness to the benefit of humanity, not shareholder value. That's from Axios. So claim that they abandoned those. Deceit of Shakespearean proportions. Musk wants a jury trial. I guess he thinks he'll do better in front of the public. Is Tesla stock? Should say probably not. This is the main reason people have been abandoning Tesla, is him. But so I don't know that. I mean, he's not even at the company. He hasn't been there for a long time. So I don't know how he has standing to file it, except that in America, for a civil suit, you can often just file just because you want to. But he withdrew it before and he's doing it again. So who knows? That's all we know right now. There's no one predicting what will happen just yet. But I really don't think. How do you sue on? You deceived that it was going to be open, but like how many, 5, 9 years later, it's not the same company? That I don't, kind of. So we'll see. That'd be like saying Google used to be all about, not being evil, and then they changed their motto or took it away, and now I'm going to sue you because I was a founding member of Google. Like,
Well, it's funny. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, don't be evil.
yeah, don't be evil.
No, didn't mean
By
to.
the way, coming from the man who platforms Nazis, and that's why he lost his advertiser. So very strange things.
Indeed. And then I actually I just want to close this a little bit with this with a quote from his lawyer, Mark Toveroff. This lawsuit holds the defendants, Altman and Brockman, accountable for their intentional misrepresentations to Musk and the public, and seeks the disgorgement of their ill-gotten gains.
The ill-gotten booty.
Ill-gotten booty, yeah. But that's as Elon Musk would put it, with a picture of a eggplant emoji or something.
Oh God. This is Webcology After Dark.
Really? I mean, is just saying eggplant emoji now X-rated?
It's always been X-rated when I'm gonna
Well,
have this discussion.
I'm so old. I just don't understand this stuff.
take an eggplant and a peach, and then go Google that and tell me what you get back from Urban Dictionary.
Well, now you've done. Okay. So this is to avoid going to a really ugly place that we would normally not go, but this has been going on for a week, and we've been talking about Elon Musk like pushing this. Okay. For listeners who don't spend a lot of time looking at news, which is actually most people these days, there's been race riots up and down England, up and down the UK, in Belfast, down as far as London, down to Bristol, all the way up to Liverpool, Manchester. There's just this race riots that have been pushed by fake media, by fake news about a stabbing of a young girl at a dance class. And by the social media platform X, Twixter. So much so that the British government is calling Elon Musk to account for actively, like seriously, going out of his way to spread misinformation and to the British government's holding Musk partially responsible for the riots.
Well, that should be interesting, because the British government is fairly successfully litigious.
Well, they're also making mass arrests. They are arresting hundreds and hundreds of people. I know there's been more than 120 arrests at this point. Unlike what Elon Musk has been saying on the platform X, there is not prisons being set up in the Falkland Islands. Although I suggest some of these people might get sent to Rwanda. That's probably not going to actually happen. Anyway, Musk had reinstated the previously banned far-right activist, convicted criminal, Tommy Robinson. His real name is Stephen Yaxley Lennon. But
oh, I didn't know that.
The world knows him as Tommy Robinson.
Yeah, that's how I know him, as Tommy Robinson.
And this week, Musk has been responding to posts, accelerating the Robinson's posts, and I guess endorsing them with his name. Anyway, this Musk is now using the same heft and power to spread misinformation about the U.S. elections, and to decelerate the impact of Twitter accounts or Twixter or X accounts of persons he dislikes, such as attorney generals who went after fake electors in 2020 or after the 2020 election, which happened today. And so he removed all the blue check marks from attorney generals,
yes,
who went after
who are
fake,
this,
false
yeah,
electors.
Yes, that's very interesting. I haven't, that account that posted that on Twitter, for people who don't know, there's an account called, I believe it's Mueller, she wrote. And it went through all these attorney generals, and only the ones in the states with the fake, who are prosecuting fake electors, blue check marks were removed from the AG's account, attorney general of the state account. So I haven't followed up on validation of more, but that account's usually pretty accurate. So I'd say it's probably true.
The show has never hidden its political leanings. We tend to wear our empathy on our sleeve and always have, although we do try to avoid political stories. This one can't be avoided. This is like actively trying to influence the American election and pushing race riots in England. Like this is actually really happening, and it's social media chaos, and it has to stop.
Yeah, and on the other side of that too, two of the people that are behind this kind of activity on Twitter and social media, not just these two, but these two are Peter Thiel and Elon Musk. Both are heavily involved in the U.S. government with military projects and have clearance. So you have them actively working against democracy and actively promoting the worst of humanity. At the same time, they're working with secret government projects. Thiel works with data collection. He has one of the most powerful data data.
Avatar, device. If I remember correctly, is his company.
Planetar. Yeah, he has one of the most powerful data analysis software in the world. Like nation states use it, and we know Musk has SpaceX. So I think maybe sometime in the near future, maybe the people we need to start asking why those people are still so involved in the at that level of government. Like neither should have a clearance, in my opinion, or according to the rules of having clearance. If you read the rules of having clearance, so. Well,
okay, so there's that.
Yes.
Okay, moving along.
And by the way, you and I would feel the same no matter who it was. It just happens to be.
Sure.
Politics are, yeah, aligned with ours, but that doesn't mean we wouldn't report on it otherwise. Coming out.
It hasn't happened yet.
Oh, wait, before we go there, we do need to note that we kind of Trickster and OpenAI combined today. So just two quick things about OpenAI. One, three main leadership of OpenAI left yesterday or the day before, mm-hmm. Including John Schulman, who is the co-founder of OpenAI, and he's going to Anthropic. Mm-hmm. And then Schulman leaving for Anthropic. Also on the story of the fact that it doesn't look like OpenAI is going to get to AGI. That's already been kind of generally thought of in the industry. Like it's just not. Large language models are not going to create create AGI like they said when they first launched them. But now they think that OpenAI really doesn't have a path to it, which means that there are major players in the space predicting that OpenAI may not have a very long lifespan. But we'll see, because it's a very fast-moving market and breakthroughs happen all the time. But right now they are not the darling baby of the AI world anymore.
Well, the vice president of consumer product, Peter Deng, has left ChatGPT, or has left OpenAI. Mm-hmm. And we mentioned Greg Brockman earlier. He's the company's president, one of the co-founders. He's taken an extended sabbatical to the end of the year. Now, that doesn't mean he's leaving the company. It means he's going away until December 31 or so. But OpenAI is supposed to be on the verge of developing advanced general intelligence, AGI. And there's questions around the industry if they really are on the verge of AGI, why are incredibly prominent people not right. there anymore?
Why are they moving on? Yes.
Advanced generative self-preservation? who knows?
Oh, yes. By the way, I should have some interesting information on general LLMs and AGI next week after these conferences.
Okay, so something that hasn't happened yet is the core update, but it's gonna. Yes. So just letting you know, it hasn't happened, but it's gonna.
There's volatility in the search.
Please, volatility. Come on. Okay, like I love Barry Schwartz. I owe so much of my career to Barry Schwartz.
Yes.
I remember my very first experience with Barry Schwartz. I'm not gonna bore y'all with that tale, but it's a pretty important one to me. It was a really important experience, actually. But Barry, every day of the last few weeks, you've reported volatility in Google's, and today there is volatility after monopoly announcement. I mean, like, really, the volatility after Amir drops a coffee cup, volatility after Amir kicks his dog.
I don't think it's his fault. I think that they're playing around so much with the layouts and the search engines that the blue links that get tracked keep moving. So there's all this volatility, but I don't think it's real volatility. I just think it's testing and experimental stuff on Google. And so, but it is funny because they're pretty much almost every day now there's volatility in the.
Yeah, it's very volatile. The only thing that is consistent amidst all this volatility is reports of the volatility.
Exactly.
And also that the core update is coming. It really, really, really is. It just ain't here today. But it might be here tomorrow. Maybe 5 minutes after when I'm recording this. Who knows?
And who knows? Maybe the person who said it was dropping the next day made them move it. I have it on the deep down low that it's dropping tomorrow. And then that post went away and then nothing happened. So We'll see. But yeah, we do. I do. I'm seeing some weird things in Search Console. I don't know if you're seeing it. I'm seeing like large drops the last few days on clients that were doing really well and like substantially well going up for some time. And so hopefully that's not a, but maybe there's a data issue in Search Console right now. But hopefully that's not a predictor of things to come because that'll be very bad for some people.
It could well be. We shall see. Yeah, we'll have to see on that. I really try not to look at any signs ahead of time, it's then take them too seriously. So if you are seeing stuff and it's hurting your stomach, chill a little bit. It doesn't
Yeah.
necessarily mean A doesn't mean B is going to happen. And then Christine, I mean, I seriously, I get where you're coming from. Looking at the results
Multiple
going,
sites.
please, I hope that this core
Yeah.
update does what that's what they said they would do.
I mean, I've just helped them improve stuff, so there's nothing negative that would be from what we've done, but it would be sad to see them getting these gains and then have another rollout that just takes them away when they've done, they're improved. They're better than they were. So
What I'm trying to say is just don't put a lot of stock in symbols that you
no.
see right now, because anything can happen.
Yes.
Okay, so Meta needs to, or sorry, Reddit needs to make money. I guess 60 million from Google doesn't go as far as you'd think it does.
Really
So
doesn't.
actually, it doesn't. In the tech world, it doesn't go anywhere.
No, it doesn't go very far.
Especially since Reddit is also messing with AI-powered search. So as you can imagine, Christine, 60 million doesn't go anywhere. Actually, it goes out the window awfully fast. But Reddit needs to make money, and during their most recent Q2 2024 earnings call, Steve Huffman, the CEO, revealed the company is exploring implementing AI-powered search results on its platform. So, people are already going to Reddit to look up answers to questions. Reddit's just going to be there to supply it for them, Huffman
Yeah,
thinks.
the thing is, I don't know. Like I don't use Reddit a lot because I'm afraid of the rabbit hole. Because I can rabbit hole and I could probably wind up on there like all day. But I don't know, it feels counter to the, how people use Reddit. So if your platform's about engaging conversations between people and you start summarizing, do people still go and have the engaging conversations? Do people find it that our true Reddit users find it a bit offensive? I don't know. I guess we'll see. I mean, they'll get new users that way because they'll see the summaries, but it'll be interesting to see if that really works on their platform for the use case and how users use their platform.
I think people have to sort of understand how vast Reddit is. People who use Reddit know the 10 to 15 subreddits that they go to on a regular basis, and for them that's Reddit, and their Reddit feed will show them it's algorithmic based on what you're interested in, so it'll show you a lot of the stuff you're interested in. That's your little Reddit world. But Reddit itself is a universe that is so vast, it's hard to imagine how big it really is. So people are using it for a bunch of different reasons, from having those conversations where, you're the developing an idea and developing character, to simply asking questions and getting expert advice, such as to ask a plumber, how do I do this? So Reddit search would have a lot of stuff to choose from, but remember, where did Google get its advice for using glue on pizza?
Right. All the really bad things that Google was putting into the AI overviews all came from Reddit crawls. So,
And
yeah.
I'm
So I don't
also I'm
know.
not sure how Reddit makes money by investing oodles and oodles and oodles of cash on AI. That part I don't quite get.
Yeah, especially the expense of it because I mean, it's getting more expensive. It's not getting less. And I sat in a talk yesterday about how like the things that they try to do to control hallucinations and stuff like RAG, they don't work. So you get a hallucinatory product that you're gonna spend a lot of money on to create summarizations that people probably don't really need because they go to, unless they're just making a summary of the thread. Like Facebook's been doing that. You go to like these groups in Facebook suddenly appear that I was added to. And it'll say like at the top, like something happened here, or this is the tone. That I can see, like that I can see as being helpful. But if they're literally summarizing it somewhere else in the Reddit, and then like go to this and read this, people are probably aren't going to be all that enthralled. You go there because you see the comment and you want to comment, or you go there and you see the comment and you want to read the rest of them or something like that. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll know in 6 months how it went. But they're pushed to profit because they went IPO, and that always, you know, is pushed to profit all the time. Did well for the last year. They are up 54%, but then I think that was 54% of almost nothing, right? Because there wasn't like much profit before, was there? I don't think Reddit was profitable before.
We may or may not know what they're doing with AI-powered search
Yeah.
because Hoffman also suggested making some subreddits paywalled,
Oh.
which went over like a lead balloon with
Yeah.
the Reddit community. I think they're throwing a lot of spitballs at the wall, seeing what sticks, and there's this aspect of the underwear gnomes about all this, which is probably a subreddit of its own, if anybody
Probably
cares to go look.
is.
Did you do you, do you, do you, do you remember the South Park movie?
Yes, but I don't remember the details, but I do remember that name
I think it was
or
from the South Park movie. It could have been a South Park episode too, but there was a industrious group of entrepreneurial gnomes called the Underwear Gnomes, and they're the creatures that come and steal your socks and underwear from your drawers at night. So it's why you lose your underwear and have like one a bunch of mismatched socks in your drawers. The underwear gnome comes and gets them. Now they have a business plan. They're not doing it just for the sake of being malicious. They actually have a business plan, and they outline it in the movie in South Park. Step one, steal the underwear. Step two, blank. Step three, profit. So step one, steal underwear. Step two, something. Step three, profit. That's the plan. And a lot of the AI schemes remind me of the underwear gnomes because they don't actually know how they're going to make the profit. They just know
No,
they're going to
true.
make it.
But not proving out that way right now. So we'll see.
So.
Yeah, so that's my word of the week, every phrase of the week. We'll see. It depends. We'll see.
In another Q2 earnings call, this one from Meta Corporation, Mark Zuckerberg estimated it's going to take like 10 times the processing power to build Lambda 4, the next iteration
Oh,
of
yeah.
the Lambda models, over of the Lambda 3, which is the current one. And he's like, look, I don't even know if this is going to work, but I know our competitors are doing this, and we cannot fall behind them. That was it. I mean, the business insider, that was what he said. He doesn't even know if it's good money after bad, but he knows he's got to spend it.
Yeah, unfortunately, right now, from the like we've talked about this before, Goldman Sachs put out a full report just to, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that told everyone to get off the LLM train because it's not going anywhere. So we'll see. The investments in new startups, according to a report I read this week, and I can't remember which one, I apologize, was they're down 34%. So people are listening. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it doesn't mean that Microsoft, Google, Amazon aren't going to still like throw money at it. You know, the cost sunk fallacy. We put all this money into it, we got to keep going. But the major investments in it as an industry are very rapidly deteriorating.
Well, somebody has to monopolize this area because the DOJ needs a reason to continue. Okay, so
Speaking of
here's
DOJ,
it's not the DOJ is actually the good guys in all this, or
yes, they are. I meant this
they're
in. Were you going somewhere? Because I was gonna.
I was actually insulting them, saying they need a reason to exist, but the reason they exist is to protect the consumer from, monopolistic practices and such. But I am going somewhere, and this is kind of scary. This is also kind of scary. Google recommends. Have you seen? I haven't seen this feature yet. Apparently, it's rolling out to certain accounts. None of mine yet,
Yeah.
but I'm bound to see it eventually. Google Search Console is going to start giving recommendations to webmasters. SEO recommendations an SEO might make, recommendations you might make. Uh-oh.
Yeah, they have three types of recommendations. Issues, something that could be fixed. Opportunities, something that could improve your traffic. Configuration, something that could make your work easier. If they hid it somewhere in there, I might be okay, cool. But as an SEO, I go, oh my gosh, I'm gonna get so many messages. Google said we need to do this. And you're like, we don't need to do that. Because Google will report on like one page. Maybe a million page site. And they're like, you have an issue. And you go look at the issue. It's like, it's one page. And you're like, okay, well, it's not the home page or anything mildly important. So we can ignore the one page. So I get why they report on it, because it could be the home page. But, and that's super important. That's the most important page on your website, according to Google. But at the same time, I had people that got SEMrush alerts, right? And I had a CMO that would stop everything in Slack the minute he got one that said, there's an alert. We've got an issue. And I go look at it. I'm like, no, we don't. Nothing. We're fine. They just send those out because the data says something that's not real. Because they were, the data, there was a news site and the keywords are based on consistent keywords. If you have a news site, they change all the time. And so you would see like drops in SEMrush, but you wouldn't see them in the actual data. And it was like, you have like massive drops across it. And it's like, you didn't have massive drops anywhere. You're just a news site and your keywords change all the time. So, so unfortunately, I fear that it could become that kind of situation. Drop everything and explain this to me now. So we'll see.
Well,
hopefully they hide it.
if you charge by the 10 6-minute increments in the hour, this is probably could be very good for you, because you can explain away. Now, whenever Search Console indicates a micro issue, any issue whatsoever, you immediately, as an SEO, you go investigate it. Of course you do. When the moment you find out it's a micro issue affecting like one page in a 500,000 page website, you immediately report that to the client. Hey, yo, don't worry about it. It's just one page.
Exactly. It's going to require a lot of handholding when it first comes out. Hopefully people will learn to let the SEO tell them if it's important.
But here's the cool thing. You look really cool because you jumped on it immediately and reported that you don't that the client doesn't actually have to worry about it, thus showing that you, the SEO, are on it. This could actually be good for all of us. You just have to use the tool properly and hope the tool doesn't replace you. And it probably won't, because, as Christine said, there's a lot of judgment, a lot of like prioritization that goes into the job of SEO, especially when you're dealing with like much larger websites. So this is actually could be helpful if you control it and it doesn't control you or your practice.
Exactly. Yeah, I think when it first comes out, it will do a little control to like people freaking out about what they see in Google, and hopefully over time they'll trust their SEOs and they'll let the SEO tell them if it's necessary to freak out or not.
Again, communication is everything with your clients. As long as you're the one who breaks news to them or interprets news before that scrolls around in their mind, you're probably going to come out ahead.
Yes.
That's my philosophy anyway.
As I do. Get it to them first before they ask questions.
Never let it scroll around in their head.
Exactly. So we have a couple of fast stories here, and then we have one we have to get to at the end. But search snippets you may like labels. So there's going to be a search snippet, and Google thinks you might visit it a lot, so they're going to put a label, say you may like this. I don't know why that's necessary, but apparently it's a thing now.
Speaking of search snippets, Google's going to allow pubic hair grooming ads as of September 2024.
Yes. And they do. but do not target or feature minors. Do not otherwise violate existing sexual content policy, or you will feel the wrath of Google on your back, as in you might even get a banned account. So yes, you can do public grooming hair grooming ads. Just be very circumspect in how you do it. Okay. Google's testing more videos to the short videos tab in an effort to compete with TikTok. So instead of loading the short videos below, it will take you to a special tab in Google search that says a short videos tab. I don't know if it's necessary to separate them, but it's not like TikTok doesn't separate the 30-second from the 10-minute ones or hour-long ones now, but they think it's necessary. So you'll be looking for that in search.
Listeners know, that story has nothing to do with the previous story.
No, but it might be a way to get a lot of customers.
Right, it might.
There is a very creative ad on TV about that, where they trim bushes.
Like I've seen
cartoon
that.
Cartoon bushes and real bushes. And it's very well done. So if you do something like that, you can get away with it. Google local service ads are going to show review photos. As they say, they add to the rank, your ad ranking. So they're going to take review photos, and they're going to add them themselves. So they have a method putting them in. I can't remember what it's called because I don't do local service paid ads, but
in Google Business Profiles.
Yeah, but there's something that they recommend you load 3 photos in to your LSA, so that you have photos that are there and they're just not taking randos. So those are our quick fast stories until we get to the Google scam alert. Do you want to talk about this?
I mean, serious. Okay, so somebody calls you up and says they have a line to Google and Google is going to clear your problem for a fee. Pay it. We're going to pay Google. Google will take care of it. You won't have a problem anymore. They're lying. See,
yeah,
the problem
I noticed,
is with your website, not with Google.
Yes, and also note, they contact you generally on WhatsApp, and it's sort of like my text message yesterday where someone asked me about fixing their roof. Don't respond to messages from people you do not know, because a lot of times those are scams, and they can be far more serious than trying to sell you a fix-it service for Google.
But seriously, this straight from John Mueller, this is a scam. Google doesn't do this.
Google does not contact you that way.
This isn't like paying a sheriff's deputy to fix a traffic ticket by the side of the road. It doesn't work that way.
Now, if you have some SEOs, we have contact with people at Google. But generally speaking, the way Google will communicate with a webmaster, or that's not the right word anymore, but is through Google Search Console. So make sure you're signed up for Google Search Console so you can get those messages from Google, and they will tell you, like, what's wrong with your site, or they will tell you that you have an issue. Now in recommendations, it'll be right there, and you don't have to go searching for it in the actual emails.
At no time ever will the recommendation be, give us $5 and we'll clear this for you.
Exactly.
Never once.
Never, ever, ever, ever.
Okay, we gotta go. Is there anything else we gotta cover?
Really important story we need to end on. Meta and Google secretly targeted minors on YouTube with Instagram ads, and they used a loophole in the law to do it. And Google says that people from other areas of Google have said it was unknown and it has to stop, and they are taking action against it. It's against all their policies, but there's an investigation now into Google and Meta for conspiring together to target 13 to 17 year old kids with these ads, which is against the law. Here, and I know in many countries. So they run afoul again, and unfortunately, these companies are so big, they don't fear the ramifications, which is, here's your fine, and that used to matter, but when you're worth $1 trillion and someone's like, here's your $1 billion fine, they're like, okay, can someone go to the couch in the snack room and get the change?
Yeah. Interestingly, in Canada, we have school boards and actually provincial governments going after both Google and Meta. For advertising to children, for intentional advertising to children.
Very interesting. And this happened after Google's parent Alphabet found their ad revenue was disappointing, and their CapEx was up and their shares shrunk 6%.
You know, I remember the days, the good old days before Google stopped not being evil. When towards end of quarter, you'd see a whole bunch of park domains that like GoDaddy pop up with paid ads on them, and that was Google's big end of quarter trick. It's seriously, we're talking big money now, eh?
Well, now I guess Sundar's just been making search worse to the point where they can't make it any more terrible grammar, any more worse.
Yeah.
So now they have to do other things. So this is relatively new. It started after February, but it should be ending now. So if you see it, report it to them, because they're obviously not taking action that they say they're going to be taking.
Okay. We've gone full clock. We've had this was a interesting kind of weird where the show went, but we goes where the stories is. Special thanks to Ricky and DeBrasco in the studio, and Darren and Brandy in the office, and biggest love to Audience Key and to Wix Studio, our sponsors. Tom Russling, happy 50th birthday.
Happy birthday.
And to everyone out there, rank well, be kind to each other. And on behalf of Christine Chakas for Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Edwards, Digital Ways Media. You've been listening to Webcology, recorded live to podcast on the 8th of August, 2024. Stay well. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.